Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our next guest, Muriel Schwartz, is the author of a family food allergy book, and she's also sits on the board of the Food Allergy and Anaphylactic Network. She's written. She's also in the Bay Area Allergy Advisory Board. Muriel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about how you got interested in allergies and how you've learned to know so much.
Well, I was born severely allergic to fish, and my own fish allergy is so severe that even aerosolized fish vapors in the air, just a whiff, can cause my body to overreact. As a youngster, I became so overwhelmed just by the vapors of these fish proteins that I had to spend a good deal of my childhood in and out of emergency rooms for immediate life-saving medical help. And back then, having food allergies meant something a little different than it does now with so much awareness in place. So when my own daughter developed food allergies at a young age, I wanted to be a part of the solution.
What percentage, Muriel, of the population has allergies, and what percentage has severe allergies?
Well, the prevalence of food allergy undeniably is on the rise. It is, in the United States, it's the growing public health concern. And since the mid-1990s, food allergies have shifted into high gear, and what used to be sort of this relative rarity, like when I was a child, has become increasingly commonplace, and scientists are estimating that the problem is only getting worse, and to date, there are more than 12 million Americans with food allergies. So to break that down, that's about one in every 25 individuals, 4% of the population, and the incidence of food allergy is highest in young children under the age of 3, 1 in 17 among those under age 3.
Okay, so that brings up a couple questions. First of all, why do you think, or what's research showing that food allergies are on the increase? And secondly, why is it that children seem to be more susceptible to food allergies than adults, or do they just grow out of it?
Some children, fortunately, do grow out of it. And there are sort of these big, the big eights, the top eight foods that account for 90% of all these food allergy reactions. Some people, research actually suggests that food allergy to the big eight might, in fact, be largely underdiagnosed. And most people who've had an allergic reaction to something they ate had initially thought that food was safe for them. The big eight are milk, wheat, soy, egg, fish, shellfish, peanuts, and tree nuts. There's sort of these three philosophies about why this is on the increase. The first is heredity. Allergic diseases like asthma, allergic rhinitis, or hay fever, and food allergy tend to run in families. So this tendency to have food allergies is definitely inherited. For example, my parents have food allergies. I have food allergies, and my daughter has food allergies. There's also this increasing theory called the hygiene hypothesis. And this is a popular premise that suggests that it's the overly sanitized state of our modern environment that's upsetting the normal development of the immune system, leading to this possible overproduction of specific allergy-causing antibodies. And sort of the main idea around that is that it's this decreased exposure to germs and other disease-causing substances that are just basically due to the very clean characteristics of our modern Western lifestyle that's affected our immune system's ability to develop sort of a very standard immune response. And because of this lack of opportunity, if you will, the immune system becomes prone to respond by reacting to otherwise harmless substances, in other words, by developing food allergies. Mm. Now, and then there's the GMO theory.
Okay.
That said, in 1996, GMOs, which are genetically modified organisms, were introduced into our food supply. So it's now become possible to insert genes that can, for example, make a plant resistant to specific diseases or insects, make a plant easier to grow with less chemical weed killers, or improve how it ripens. And, you know, we've got every major scientific regulatory oversight body in the world saying and concluding that genetically modified foods pose no harm, and that to date there are no documented ill effects, with both the regulatory and scientific agencies have these international guidelines to address the safety. However, this is a developing, prevailing, emerging theory.
Mm. Yeah, I remember when doctors used to talk about thalidomide being safe as well. You know, Muriel, you know, is this a North American issue or is it a worldwide issue? You know, the increase in allergies.
There is a general increase overall worldwide, but the United States is really driving these aggressive numbers, and this is definitely a United States focused growing public health concern.
When I was a kid, you know, there wasn't much talk about allergies going to school. Nobody had an EpiPen or, you know, now I have a brother-in-law that, you know, is the principal of a school. And they have to take courses on how to administer these things. Is it that allergies have become, are we more aware of the allergies and the sensitivity, or have the effects of the allergies gotten worse over the years?
Both. And in fact, just to clarify, what's an EpiPen is a epinephrine, which is this synthetic adrenaline that can reverse the severe symptoms of an allergic reaction in literally seconds. So it's this, the epinephrine is loaded up into this auto-injectable device, and one shot can stop an allergic reaction in its tracks. As most school principals are very, very well aware in this day and age, it's considered the first and best line of defense in combating food allergies. And there's a few different auto-injectors. EpiPen is the one that me and my family use, but there's a newer one that's an auto-injectable device that's battery-operated that actually talks you through using the injector. Mm. It's called the AuviQ. And at school, I mean, we have to be honest, you know, if your child has this life-threatening food allergy at a young age, going off to school can feel terrifying because largely, you know, some of these accidental ingestions of the offending allergen occurs most often at school.
What happens when people have an allergic reaction? What is the process that the body goes through? You know, obviously, in the extreme case, we have this anaphylactic shock. But what is generally, what are the symptoms of having an allergic reaction?
Well, for example, let's say if you are allergic to something, you don't expect, for example, to get hives when you eat a red tomato. That kind of reaction would be an indicator of an allergic reaction. It's kind of... the allergy is sort of a valuable immune response in the body gone haywire because the body is poised to do battle against these bacteria and viruses. So these antibodies that are trained to attack invaders keep the body safe. But with an allergy, these substances trigger the same response, and it's the sudden release of chemicals that will flood your system, including histamine. And the symptoms can be quite mild. It could be just some hives, rash, a little topical itching. But an allergic reaction can escalate very quickly, within seconds even, to severe. And these symptoms include difficulty breathing, wheezing, swelling of the tongue and the throat, a drop in blood pressure, a loss of consciousness. It's very important for folks to understand that a food allergy, not only can it be potentially fatal, but that even trace amounts of the offending food can trigger the reaction.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, at the start of the show that when you were really allergic, or, you know, when you're really aware of the sensitivity, even the smell of a shellfish would set you off.
That's exactly correct, yes, and would cause some of those anaphylactic symptoms with the facial swelling, the throat swelling, a drop of blood pressure. And when I was very, very little, these EpiPens and the epinephrine auto-injectors had not come onto the market quite yet. So it was a never-ending cycle of just taking risks of eating food and then seeing whether or not there would be a reaction. That was also prior to these food labeling laws. Now there's the Food Allergen Labeling and Consumer Protection Act, which is called FALCPA, and that requires that all the labels of foods containing those big eight allergens I mentioned note that allergen in very plain language. That also didn't exist back then, so there was a whole lot of accidents.
We're talking with Muriel Schwartz about her book, The Family Food Allergy Book. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be finding out more about how you can protect your family from allergies.